anemic wages growth, a widening gap between rich and poor, and a powerful elite of banks, insurers and multinationals who are the main winners from 27 years without a recession. That, according to the peak union body, the ACTU, is a snapshot of inequality in Australia today. The organisation's warning the federal government's policies could result in an American-style economy of dead-end jobs, poverty pay levels and zero job security. And with an election looming, the union body's released a paper on inequality that pulls no punches, declaring that living standards in Australia are at a 30-year low and could fall even further. The ACTU Secretary, Sally McManus, is speaking here with Senior Business Correspondent Peter Ryan.
Well, the fact we've got an income recession, our incomes, the amount of money that people have got compared to household items is going backwards, and it's been going backwards for the last 3 years. And really over the last 7 years, we've had a problem. But since 2015, we've had the most dramatic fall in our living standards since the 91 recession.
So we might not be in a technical recession, that's two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth, but you say that average workers are really feeling it with this income recession, despite some of the rosy commentary about the economy in general.
That's right. Where your wages aren't keeping up with cost of living, what happens, of course, is people cut into their savings. And when they run out of savings, well, they've got to cut back on their spending. And all of this has a big knock-on effect to the broader economy. So small and medium businesses, all businesses suffer.
That income recession, which is based on ABS data on disposable income, says living standards are at their lowest level in 30 years. So with little or no wages growth in sight and inequality growing, should Australians be prepared for a fall in living standards to get even worse?
Well, it's not going to turn around unless there's actual action that causes it to turn around. We've had the governor of the Reserve Bank for quite a while now banging the drum about this and saying there's a problem. A couple of years ago, he told employers they should just give workers pay rises, and that didn't work out. And now he's saying that the minimum wage should go up. So he's talking about actual intervention from the government to do something about it, which is what we think needs to happen. Really, the problem is a power imbalance issue. And if you don't make sure that the workers in your country have the rights they need to win fair pay rises, they're going to continue to go backwards.
As you say, the RBA governor, Philip Lowe, is quite concerned about slow wages growth, but he's also concerned about the housing correction and a credit squeeze from the Royal Commission fallout. So do you also worry about the negative wealth impact that there are people out there who are seeing their wealth on paper diminish because of the housing correction?
Well, we've got two sets of issues. So we've got people that are in the housing market, and of course, they're, especially if they've been living in Sydney or Melbourne, they've seen their houses go up, housing prices go up a fair bit. So it's almost like a psychological thing. You think you're richer because you've got more wealth because of the housing price. But the other problem is a big one, and it's a generational problem, that we have a whole generation of people who can't even afford to get into the housing market in the first place.
The study also warns Australia is going down the track of the United States, where living standards have declined, there's high inequality, dead-end jobs, poverty pay. But is that a type of scaremongering ahead of the election?
No, it's true. It's exactly the same policies that are delivering us the same outcomes. So it's not just Donald Trump, but it's people before him have followed policies that were very much based on neoliberalism we have in Australia as well. And so, unfortunately, you know, I wish that I didn't have to be talking about this issue, but I do think it's the biggest threat facing our very way of life in Australia, growing inequality.
You are critical of the Morrison government, but this paper says during 27 years without a recession, only the power elite of banks, insurance companies and big businesses have benefited. And you talk about widening inequality, but are you worried about perhaps stoking class warfare?
No, I'm just telling the truth. We can either ignore it or we can look at the actual facts and say, well, that's fine. We don't mind being in a country where it's really unequal. We don't mind being in a country where the 1% in our country have more wealth than the bottom 70%. Or we can say, actually, that's not the type of place we want to live in. But are we sleepwalking into a different world, into the Americanization of our country?
So what are the answers, given that Labor also takes credit for 27 years recession-free, the same as the coalition?
After the GFC, we saw a big shift in wealth to the top. And that's exacerbated the power imbalance I was talking about, where we've got now quite a different economy to what we had 30 years. It's an open economy. We have far more multinationals operating here. And what's happened is there's been a concentration of power, as we say in this paper, and we haven't adjusted our laws to make sure that working people also have an adjustment in their power. We have the highest rate of temporary work in the OECD and the third highest rate of insecure work. So it's not really normal, the amount of insecure jobs that we have. And that's adding to low wage growth, but it also adds to a decline in standards of living, because if you can't rely on the job that you've got and you don't know how many hours you're going to be working, not only is it personally stressful, but it's economically stressful as well.
You also have a depressing outlook for children of families at the bottom of the income ladder, that they have little chance of moving up and out. And that's where you're talking about social mobility. What does that say about what we're leaving behind for our children?
If you're in a low-income family, it's going to take four generations for you to move to just the middle. I think that the story we tell about ourselves is something different. It's a story of everyone being able to get ahead if you have a go, but that's not the case. It's a big problem. We're actually more of a class society than we think we are.
And that's the Secretary of the ACTU, Sally McManus, and she was speaking with our senior business correspondent, Peter Ryan.